Turn to John chapter 11. And I'm just going to read two verses and go from there. I could have read a bunch of different verses, and I probably will reference some of them, but these are just the two I picked because these are actually the two I used when I was talking to somebody. John chapter 11, I'm going to read verse 25 and 26. This is Jesus speaking to Martha before he raised Lazarus from the dead. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? That's the question he asked. Okay. She said yes. She did believe it. And I want to say now, I believe it. I believe him. Now, what I want to talk to you about is something I got in my mind after speaking with some people at work. And it's basically believers are believers first. First of all. Now, before I start that, I want to state something else. Not to contradict, but basically introduction. Because I want to state this from the outset, because I'm going to be speaking about believers, I'm going to be speaking about believing, I'm going to speak about people who believe. Now, my believing and your believing of Jesus Christ truly comes from the faith of God given to the believer. Okay, I want to state that flat out right here. Anything I believe, anyone I believe, is because of the faith given me as the gift of God by his grace. The faith of God is the gift of God to his chosen people. And I don't want to leave the impression, I don't want to give the false impression, or to have anyone think that anything I say that believing leads to faith. Right. It's the other way around. Right. Right. Yeah. Faith leads to believing. Right. Amen. Yeah. But I do know sometimes when I ad lib and don't go off script here, that I have a tendency at times to say something that might be misinterpreted. So I want to lay it out flat at the beginning. Faith leads to believing. Believing doesn't lead to faith. No matter what I say later.
There you go.
Well, you don't want anything you say up here to try to even give the impression of nullifying the truth. I was reminded of an incident a while back. It was when we were down at the Roy Linda's at the picnic shelter, and I said something, and somebody asked me about it later, and I didn't remember saying it. And I went back to look and see, well, I didn't quite say that, but I did say, what I said was that I was talking about Jews and not Jews, Jews and Gentiles. And I said that we are not Jews. Right now, at this time, we are not Jews. Well, the part I left out was, and we never will be. I forgot to say that part because I was kind of getting caught up. And they said, are we going to be Jews later? No, we're not. So anything I say about believing comes from this point. Faith comes first. This is the disclaimer portion of the sermon. Well, this world is totally wrapped in to their point that believing leads to life. Believing, faith is given to every man. God has dealt to every man the measure of faith, even though the Bible expressly states that all men have not faith. The faith of God. All men don't have it. Even though, say, every man has it, they'll tell you that. I've heard it with my own ears, and I didn't believe it, but I heard it. That's the way the world works, and your believing, using the faith that everybody has, leads to life. No, life comes from God. Yes. Faith comes from God, and if you really want to get down to it, my believing comes from God. The good part of it, the bad part of it, where I'm not very good at it, that's of me. Faith is not something I exercise. I'm sorry. I've heard that so many times. And if you believe, God will give you everlasting life if you exercise your faith. Well, that's dead wrong. The Holy Spirit gives life to the dead sinner, gives the faith of God, which is perfect, to the child of God at the chosen time of God. And then, and only then, will the child of God start to believe. Believing is the result of life and faith. It does not precede life or faith. Now, also, another disclaimer. While I am speaking of believing, I am speaking of believing Jesus Christ. Not necessarily doctrine, although doctrine's involved. Because He is our doctrine. He's the doctrine. I'm speaking of believing Jesus Christ, the Father, and the Holy Spirit as they are revealed in this book, in the Scriptures. I'm speaking of believing God because I'm speaking of believing Jesus Christ. Because if you don't believe Christ, you don't believe God. There's lots of people who say they believe God, don't believe anything about Christ. There's lots of people who say they believe about Christ, but they don't believe anything that He did. Because if you tell him what he did, they'll very quickly tell you, I don't believe that. And there's not a whole lot you can tell to someone who does not believe the work of the Lord Jesus Christ that he came to do. He came to save his people from their sins. Now either he did it or he didn't. That's what he came for. With everything else wrapped in all around this, call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now, either he did or he didn't. Amen. This book will tell you he did. I'll tell you he did too, but this book's a little more important. He redeemed his people. That's who and that's what I'm talking about believing. I'm speaking of believing the truth of God, the light of knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. I don't have any dealings with God outside of Christ. No one does. And I get to deal with Christ directly. I do not have a mediatrix. That's a, oh boy. I'm sorry, I watched some Catholic people on TV the other day. And I always feel sorry for Peter and Mary in heaven. Because they get bad-mouthed all the time. Jesus Christ is my Savior. He is the one with whom I have to do. And the one with whom everyone has to do. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation. Through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel has a place in believing. In believing. The gospel doesn't have a place in regeneration. I'll say it flat out. And anybody that thinks anything is wrong. If they think anything different, if they think you have to hear the gospel to be regenerated, you're wrong.
Right. You're wrong.
Regeneration is the work of God.
Amen.
It's the work of the Holy Spirit. He goes whether he will, when he will, however he will, to whomever he will, when it's God's time.
Amen.
And the preaching of the gospel has nothing at all to do with that.
Right.
But it has to do with the belief of the truth.
Yeah.
Believers are those who are chosen to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Conversion has a little bit to do with the truth of God. Conversion to Christ. It's about Christ. It's from Christ. It is Christ in his work and his will and his way. Now, I did say that's what I wanted to talk about believing, but here's what I'm not going to talk about in believing. Because the Bible does speak of those who believe, but it speaks of those who believe the lie. See, there's believing going on all around us. There are people who are sincere. I believe sincerely wrong is what they are. But they are. They will give money to edifices and programs and places and people, and they will put their money where their mouth is.
Sure. Sure.
And they got a lot more money than we got. The Bible speaks of those who believe the lie. Walter and I spoke a little bit about this. There are those who are deluded. That's the word. And they have been deluded by God to believe the lie. And some people don't believe this, but that's part of all things that work together for good to them that love God. There are those where it says, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. God sent them not just delusion. He sent them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. And I'm going to tell you something. They do believe.
Yes.
They believe a lie. They receive not the love of the truth. And see, there's people who say, well, see, if you don't receive the love of the truth, you'll be apostated. You'll be kicked out. God will send you delusion to get believed. They didn't receive love of the truth because God didn't give them the love of the truth. That's the only reason I got it. That's the only reason anybody else has got it, is because God gave it to them. See, they think receiving is something we do. No, receiving is something God does when he gives it to us. We have it. When God gives something, whether it's strong delusion or a love of the truth, you got it. They weren't asking for strong delusion, but they got it. I wasn't asking for the love of the truth, but I got that.
Amen.
What's the difference? Not me, not them. The word preached, same word was preached to them, but not being mixed with faith in them that heard it, it did not profit them. That's another thing about gospel regeneration. Faith's got to be there for the gospel to do you any good. Regeneration's already got to happen before the gospel's going to do you any good. Anyway, they believe not the truth, but that's not all, because man is not and never has been neutral. Walter was pointing that out a long time ago. That kind of stuck with me. Man is never neutral toward the things of the Spirit of God. I've seen firsthand evidence of that. Because there is no natural neutral state of man. These had and still today have pleasure in unrighteousness. Because men love darkness rather than light. Young's literal translation put it this way, but were well pleased in the unrighteousness. Well pleased. There are those who are extremely happy believing the lie. They're happier than I am most of the time. Or it seems that way. It wouldn't surprise me a bit. To be honest, in a lot of ways, I was happier before I knew the truth of God. Yeah. I mean, it's just time for true confessions. There's a battle in me now that I never had before. There's a war going on that I was ignorant of. And I was happy in my ignorance. I was. I thought it was okay for the most part. I never killed anybody. Sure, I wanted to. Maybe still do. Depends upon the day, depends upon the person. But I was ignorant of my state. And I was definitely ignorant of God's state. Had no idea. But there are those who are so happy believing this lie, they make us look like dour people.
Sure.
Unfortunately for them, sometimes the Spirit of God can't reach the second floor, Walter. Where all the happiness and stuff's going on down below. And the fellow upstairs running the tape machine said, boy, I wish I could have been down there where the Holy Spirit was. Yeah, they were having a party. They were having a party. They were having a good time. They were happy believing the lie.
That's exactly right.
That's what it is. They hate the truth of God as it is revealed in the face of Jesus Christ through the Scriptures, and they will, and maybe already do, hate you. Because you'll tell them the truth. And he says, I don't believe that. And the other one is, my God wouldn't do that. Well, we're not talking about your God. We're talking about the God of the Bible.
Amen.
He does that stuff all the time. And then they wrote it down. And then you read it to them, and they still don't want it. Because they're happy believing the lie. It's more fun. And even if they don't hate you, or maybe they do, but even because maybe they hate you, if nothing else, they may just avoid you like the plague. Okay? That's not necessarily a bad thing. Okay? People will separate themselves from you. You don't normally have to separate yourself from them.
Amen. Yeah.
They won't have nothing to do with you. I don't miss them. I'll be honest about it. I really don't miss them. Well, as much as I like a good argument at times, there is that thing, as much as lies within you, live peaceably with every man. It's a lot easier for me to live peaceably with every man when every man stays away from me. It's just a lot easier that way. I still remember Ridd's comment, well, we basically are hermits. That's true. That's true. And it's not because I don't want to be sociable, it's because people don't want to be sociable with me.
Right. There you go.
And that's just the way it is. Because the last thing I want to do is to hang out with a bunch of people who are well pleased in religious and sometimes very religious unrighteousness. That's the last thing I want to do. Church picnic. People invite me to their church picnics. That's all right. I'll pass. Because at least, at the very least, I would be unhappy. And if I talk too much, a lot of them's going to be unhappy too. Now, I do have, personally speaking, I do have a good hope that I am not deluded.
Amen.
That worries me sometimes. Because if I'm deluded, I wouldn't know it. If you're deluded, you won't know it. They're deluded, they don't know it. They're believing a lie, and they don't know it. The good hope that I have is that I believe Him. I believe Jesus Christ as described in these scriptures. I believe what the scriptures state about Him. I believe everything that the scriptures state about Jesus Christ, whether I understand it or not. Because when I started out, I didn't understand anything. In times past, I have fought against some things in the scriptures, but I still believed Him. And I come to find out, actually, He showed me that what it says in this book about Him is true.
Yeah.
It's right. It's consistent. Old Testament and New.
Yeah.
That He would come and save His people from their sins. And that He would reveal unto them their salvation.
Yeah.
That He purchased on the tree at Calvary, and that they would come and believe Him. That's it. I believe Him. I found out a lot of these New Testament scriptures were stuff written in the Old Testament. Paul has a tendency to quote Isaiah a lot. Because Isaiah says a lot of good things about what wasn't going on. And well, maybe some of it had something to do with what was going on in his time, but what's going on forever.
Amen.
In Jesus Christ. He's the same yesterday, the same today, and the same forever. From the beginning, He declared the end.
Amen.
And He can declare the end because He controls the middle. I fought against some things in the scriptures, but I found them in here again and again, and in the Old Testament again and again. And by His grace, I have grown in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And during all of that time, I believed Him. Even when I didn't understand some things, even still when I don't understand some things, I have nowhere else to go. I have no inclination to go anywhere else. And I don't understand that about me. Because I know I didn't used to be that way. But my believing in Him, which is a gift from Him, I found that out later too. Didn't know it at the time. My believing Him has never changed. When that came to that in John 6, I still remember reading that. When He said, "No man comes to me except the Father who sent me draw him." And He says it again, "No man comes to me, lest it be given him of the Father." It's like, oh, that sounds like he makes people come to him. Yeah, it does. That's what I thought when I read it, and I never read it before in my life. Then you get to the end and it says, after this, many people walked away. Well, before I got to that part, I'd already said, well, he's Christ. He's my Lord. I don't get this. Then I read on and looked and says, looked at his disciples and said, hey, you guys going away too? Didn't try to stop or slow down the people that were leaving. See, that goes, that's the complete antithesis of our persuasion religion that we're surrounded by. Jesus Christ didn't care if they walked out the door.
Right. That's right. There you go. Exactly.
He didn't care. They weren't his.
Right.
That's it.
Amen.
Now that's a hard thing to say, and that'll split a church. Yes, it will.
Yeah.
And yes, it has. And by God's grace, it will again.
Yeah.
Because it's still true.
Yeah.
He looked at his disciples and said, will you also go away? Peter answered. And he answered the same thing I said to myself. I got nowhere else to go. And I remember reading that and my heart was lifted and I was so happy because there's somebody who didn't know anything either. But he believed God. He believed Christ. And I believe Christ. And that's my hope. He's my hope. Now the other reason that I believe that I'm not deluded is this. It's time to quit. I know what the lie is.
Yeah.
He sent them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. They don't know it's a lie. I know it's a lie. Because it goes against what this book says. And I know it says he should send them strong delusion to believe a lie, but other scriptures have it, other versions have it, and it could be very well translated the lie because there's only one lie. Paul wrote this saying that there are those who believe the lie, singular. There are many manifestations of this lie and variations of this lie. Just about as many as there are denominations. Actually, there's more than that, but still. But there's only one lie. It's singular, and it's a big lie, and I'll leave you with this, and we'll do this again next week if we got power. The lie is this: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit is not enough. That's the lie. That's the lie. God is not enough. There are variations on it, myriad. Jesus Christ is not enough. They'll call him Lord, they'll call him Savior, but then they got to help. I've heard it. You've heard it. You've heard me say it. You've heard Earl say it. Heard Walter say it. God's done all he can do. Now it's up to you. If you take that first step, come forward. God will meet you. That's a lie. It's a bald-faced lie. You can't take any steps without God because you're dead without him. That's it. And dead men don't do anything. And that is the what? They believe by strong delusion. They have to help God.
Right.
Part of the reason I think I'm not deluded is the fact that I know I can't help God. I can't help God do anything. I can't help God save myself. I can't help Jesus Christ save anybody. Because I believe salvation is of the Lord.
Amen.
And that's the lie. They think salvation is of the Lord and you. Or salvation is of the Lord and the preacher, or the priest, or Mary, or Peter, or whatever. Joseph Smith. The angel Moroni. And I have a very distinct tendency to leave the I off of the name of that angel that supposedly talked to Joseph Smith. I'll say it. The angel Moron. People are deluded by God to believe the lie. Believers believe Christ. You can disbelieve me all you want. Believe Christ. You believe this word about Christ, what it says about him, his work, his way, his will, his life. Then I don't want to get cocky, but I won't. I'll say, you'll believe what Walter says about it. Because it follows this book. Because believers are believers first. And we'll get into that later. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and his life, which he gave for us freely to redeem us, to purchase us, to save us from our sins. And we are thankful that he did that and is now revealing himself to his people in his good time. Thank you, Lord. In his name we pray. Amen.